Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. How do people get started? Where do they get stuck? Does their family really follow along when they want to get organized? Wouldn't you love to peek behind the curtain and see how other people in the 100-day program are actually getting their home organized? Well, that's what we're going to be doing from now on the Wednesday new Organize 365 podcast. I would love to introduce you to your fellow Organize 365 members that are on this home organization journey with you. Let's see how they have gone from disorganized to organized.
Oh my goodness. So today and next week on the podcast, because Melissa and I already know that this is going to be two whole podcasts. You guys, if you have been in our Facebook groups, you know Melissa Skavelkum. Is that how you say your last name?
Skavlum.
Skavlum, whatever. I do not know phonics.
Yes.
You guys know her. She's always encouraging you, motivating you, and showing what she's been doing in her house. And this is going to be an amazing two podcast episode. We're going to start, and I am going to try to focus her on talking about herself. We'll see how she does with the Sunday best in the 100 days. And then in the second episode, you're going to want to come back for that and find out what she did during COVID with her business, how she does workboxes in her business, which is not small like my businesses, how this has worked with her kids. And we might even get into her husband. We'll see how much time we have.
I can't wait, Lisa.
We'll see.
So excited to be here.
So how in the world did you find Organize 365? That is the most intriguing question I always have.
Well, it's interesting. I had a window in my life where my husband and my middle child were going to weekend-long volleyball tournaments. And my oldest was away at college, so it was just me and my youngest daughter at home. And I thought, this is the time to go through all the paper. So I kind of did what you recommend. I went through every place in the house I could think of that I had paper stored except the file cabinets. And just where all the piles were all over our house, you know, the piles in the bedroom, the piles in the office, the piles in the kitchen, the piles in the dining room, the piles in our loft area, everywhere there was paper. I pulled it out. I put it on. We have a beautiful island in our kitchen and it's huge. And I had cleared the island off and I put this paper all over and I was like, I'm going to go through this pile by pile and figure out what to do with it. And yeah, I was doing a pretty good job. And this was a multi-weekend process. I kind of had my own Sunday basket retreat, my own paper retreat at home. And so took it all out, was going through it. And I was like, you know, I'm getting tired of this. I need some motivation. I wonder if there's any podcasts I could listen to while I'm doing this on paper organization and organization in general. And surprise, surprise, what came up was Lisa's Organized 365 podcasts. And so I started listening. I think I started listening to some of the Sunday Basket podcasts at the time and thought, you know, that system, when I'm finally through with all of this, that could actually work for me. And I was like, oh, these baskets, you know, is this really going to be something I'm going to be able to stick to? But I listened to your philosophy. And as I was working through the papers, I thought this is probably a good way for me to do that. So then I ordered my first Sunday Basket and I think I can't remember if I ordered one for Steve at the same time. I don't know. If you look at my crazy history of ordering from Organize 365. I think that's really how I got started was just like this program sounds like it might make sense for me after I get through this kind of decluttering the hoard process.
Okay, so awesome. So you basically started with the Sunday basket, your everyday piles of paper. So who is in your house with you? Who lives with you?
So I live with my husband, Steve, and we've been married 23 years, I believe. I kind of am losing track. I live with my oldest daughter right now, who would usually be at college, but she's not due to the current situation. If you're listening to this podcast later, she's home because of the coronavirus issues. So Vivian is 20 years old. Lillian is 15. She'll be 16 in December. And then my youngest, Violet, is 13 and she is amazing and she has Down syndrome. So I have used the Warrior Mama binder as well. Amongst my three children and me and my husband, I do believe most of us, other than Violet, have ADHD of some form or another, which is kind of interesting. Vivian has been diagnosed with it, and I have as well, but not, I wasn't until I was an adult. And now that I have been, a lot of things make a lot more sense to me, both why I'm good at what I'm good at and why I have challenges in other areas. So,
okay. So awesome. So when was this that you first started listening to the podcast and you had these couple of weekends with your paper?
So I want to say that was early 2019. Was it 2019 or 2018?
I think it was 2019.
This is my fourth round. This will be my fifth round, I think.
Sorry. So you jumped into the 100-day program quickly thereafter then?
Quickly thereafter, right. Okay. So I got the papers kind of at a manageable sort of level. At least I had a system for keeping up with the actionable papers, which I never had before, right? And so that was interesting. And, you know, you talk about, you know, first you want to declutter, then you want to organize, then you want to focus on productivity. Well, I feel like for me, productivity is going to be kind of a lifelong process, like learning to be as productive as I want to be. And I've been thinking about productivity a lot lately. And I really feel like one of the things you teach is intentional productivity. Mm-hmm. And being intentional, I was always pretty productive and I could always do a lot of things and manage a lot of things. But that's kind of both the simplicity and the complexity of your program is, you know, you can learn a lot and you become more intentional, which does give you more free time and does give you more ability to do the things that you want to do in your passion. So anyway, that's kind of a long story, but that's how long I've been doing it. And I do feel like, you know, you go through this process and I still have decluttering to do, and I still probably have organization to do, but I feel like I understand why you lay that out that way and why productivity really is the last piece of the puzzle. So if that makes
sense. And I think it's more of an articulation that I do than a system that I have. I think we're always striving for productivity and we think, well, if I declutter enough, then I will be productive. And is that organizing piece in the middle? You've been at this pretty much 18 months, and that's about how long it takes to go from living a reactive life to living a proactive life through actively organizing your home and your paper. And it is a brain muscle. It is the executive function of your brain that really gets developed over that 18 months, which is where the deficiencies lie when you are diagnosed with ADHD, depending which of those eight executive functions are deficient. And that's not a negative thing. Like, none of us have perfect executive functioning. We all have rooms for improvement, but that is what you're learning through Organize 365, is how to get the executive function part of your brain doing what you want it to do so that your life looks the way that you want it to look.
Well, I agree with that, Lisa. And I think, to me, when I think about, you know, you said you spend 18 months, you know, decluttering and deorganizing. Well, that's not true. I've spent 53 years organizing and decluttering.
There are a whole bunch of people, Melissa, just went amen in their cars, in their laundry rooms, in their offices, and they're like, "Oh shoot, I just said that out loud."
Right. Well, but that's true. But the difference, I think, is that you have both a system, a process, and a structure to how to do it in a way that makes sense, at least for somebody like me, to be able to kind of organize the chaos. And I do tend to like to live in a lot of things going on, and I like to have, you know, my things out. And I'm somebody who has to. I like the visual. If it's put away in a box or in a bag, I don't know that it exists. Right? It disappears from me forever. And so then I come back and I try and organize. But the system you have and the process for going through it finally helped me feel like I was making progress towards, you know, a manageable, you know, it's not perfect, but it really has helped kind of streamline our household, help everyone know where things are, and just it works better for us. My husband said yesterday, I came home and we were having problems with our garage door. And he's like, look, Missy, I found the manual. I knew right where it was. I could put my hands on it. I'm like, that's amazing. I mean, that's like progress. Wow. Lisa, he thinks you should put him on this podcast. He thinks you should get the husbands, the people who are living with your people, to talk about what differences they've seen. He said, that's where you really know that it's working.
Hey, he could be part three of this podcast series.
I don't know.
Lisa,
we'd get into too many of his issues and he'd get.
So we're just going to focus on ourselves.
It has helped him too. Because I focused this time really on me and the things that I knew didn't matter to him. So I think that was really helpful to both of us.
And you would rabbit trail, like everybody in the Facebook group knows, you'd be like, I want to organize this space that was related to your husband. And I would be like, okay, so what of your spaces are still not organized? And I know you didn't like me when I would call you out on it, but then you would get focused back on you. And I think that's part of it. I think it's so easy, especially if you're the female head of the household, to focus on what does your spouse need? What do your kids need? What does the house need? And it's not a selfish self-care thing, but what do you need? How does this focus for you? Because the systems that you set up, they will follow. I'm just telling you, they'll just follow them. And constantly reorienting you to what do you need and what do you still need to refine, the rest does kind of fall in line.
It gets better for sure. I absolutely agree. It gets better. And I really think by respecting his things, his good stuff, as he likes to call it, and not just, you know, either being frustrated with it or throwing it away, but really respecting it and saying, this is important to him. You know, I created the whole Steve Scavlin Museum in my front room, and I made a plaque for Christmas. You know, that meant a lot to him. And so because I was respectful of his things and really thought about, okay, this means something to him. It doesn't mean anything to me, but it means something to him. How can I honor and respect the things that matter to him? They don't matter to me. I would have it differently in my house, but it matters to him and he lives there too. So I think it's been a good compromise. Good.
Can you articulate or explain, like maybe think about one space in your house that for 50, however many years, you've been trying to declutter and get this organized, but something in the 100-day program made it work and stick this time. It's just like a 1-minute video every day and 100 individual tasks. How did that truly make the difference in your house versus all of the other times that you have purged and organized? And I mean, I'm sure you have organized these spaces before. What was it that you were learning or what was different that clicked in your brain when you did that?
So first I said I started with the Sunday basket. When I did that, just to focus on that for a quick minute, when I did the Sunday basket, I was like, I don't know if I'm putting the right labels on these folders and am I really doing it the right way? And I don't want my blue folders to be family. I want, because Violet, my daughter's name is Violet, she has to have the purple folders. And In some ways, I kind of think I should have done it your way that way. And I may change them at some point. That was kind of because I have, as I've said often on the Facebook group, like, just do it the way Lisa says. It's better than the way you're going to do it. But to me, getting the Sunday basket under control allowed me to say, 15 minutes a day is doable. Now, at the time I joined, my life was how my life usually is. And I travel 3 to 4 times a month, three to four times a month. And so there's a lot of travel that goes along with my work life, a lot of packing, unpacking, repacking, house getting out of control, out of order, papers coming in. And so the Sunday basket really helped with the papers coming in because everybody knows just stack it on top of the Sunday basket. So I would come home and there'd be fewer kitchen table papers, island papers. And even if there were, I could just kind of clean them up and put them away. So I had a place to get them out of sight. I would find coming home was really stressful. I would go from this beautiful, clean hotel room that I'd walk into that someone else had very orderly into like camp chaos at my house. And so kind of that, that difference, just of having the Sunday basket and having that kind of both as a routine, clearing my mind of all of those papers and having to deal with them all the time and just knowing, deal with that later, focus on today, really helped with the mind space. That freed me up that way. But then So then I was like, should I start the Sunday basket? The 100-day program. I have so many things. Should I go all access? It's so much money, you know. But I decided, you know what, just this, the Sunday basket really worked for you. This other system, it can't make things worse, right?
So what's the worst that could happen?
What's the worst that could happen? So, and I would listen to your podcast, and I have to say, Lisa, like every podcast, it's like, oh, you know, buy this, do this. But at first I was like, why is she's always talking about these programs? Now I listen to you talk about these programs over and over, and I really enjoy it. Like, I find it very like soothing and peaceful to me that you tell me the same things over and over. And if I were younger, I would be able to recite verbatim like the start and end of your podcast. I wish I had that mental flexibility to be able to do it, because I am certain I could impersonate you perfectly. But because I love the things you say, we are so ready to get started. I'm so excited to get started. But anyway, so I thought, should I start now? Should I wait until I have more time? And you basically said, jump in right now. There's never going to be a better time.
Never going to
go
have
ahead
more
and
time.
Get started. And yeah. And so thought, okay, well, I'll do it. So I got the program, and the planner was kind of interesting to me, because I've never been a big one for a paper planner. I have a calendar online that I maintain pretty meticulously because of with work and trying to figure things out. So I didn't know if I'd like a paper planner, but I liked your planner because it really is a planner. Okay. And that difference for me of having, this is a place where I go to plan and think about and organize what's coming, what's there. That resonated with me. The 15 minute a day, I'm an early riser. Nobody else in my house is an early riser. So I get up, I'm usually up, you know, between 6 and 6:15. And I just decided, you know what, I'm going to go into work a little later, because I usually would be at the office by like 7. I'm going to go into work a little later every day. And I'm just going to do these tasks. And I'm going to spend the 15 minutes. Like, I think it's funny, your like go around your room, just the tidying process you have is great. Like the trash, 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 food, 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 clothes, clothes, clothes. Like that is my house. And once I do that, like I would do that first. I still do that, you know, every Saturday morning. That's the first thing I do. And I have a person who leaves their shoes like everywhere. This everywhere in the house, there are shoes. So once I do that, it kind of gets things organized for me. I feel like I'm like telling the commercial for Organized 365.
That's fine. Keep like, going. You're doing just fine. You're a great model.
Unbelievable. You've like imprinted my brain. But so then I would spend those 15 minutes on whatever that task was. And our kitchen is pretty well organized. We had it redone a few years ago, and we have lots of great space. My husband loves to cook. That's his passion project. And he really likes his things where he likes them. But it was easy. It was a good place for me to jump in and get started. So I went through the kitchen the first round. My clothes were, I was traveling a lot during my clothes time. And so I found that I was doing that more on the weekend, kind of doing a big catch up on that, and then readdressing that. And that, I think it really took me till the third round to get my clothes better under control. And it's interesting now, like how I judge that my clothes are good is I can move things around for seasons. And like I've rearranged my closet a couple different ways. Like I put everything the same color together once. So everything that was white is in one place, everything that's black, no matter what the season was. And then I could really see what I had. So I've done that a couple different ways. But it's all of the ways helped me really kind of get the declutter and the organization down. And so now I do think more about productivity in that area. And then I just kind of went through the rest of it in the order. And I didn't, what I liked about it was I didn't have to worry about the other things that I wasn't doing, because I knew I'd get to them. And I didn't have to worry about being perfect that first round, because I knew I was going to have two more at least that I was going to hit those areas. So it took a lot of the pressure off of me. And I figured, well, each of these areas on this 100-day, I'll have spent 45 minutes on over the course of the year. And so when I thought about it that way, it gave me probably more grace to just say, okay, you didn't do a great job on this time, but you've got two more tries to get it together. So that was kind of how that was. Then I bought the binders at some point. I guess when I went all access, I got the binders. I can't remember how that worked. And I was like, when am I ever going to get to these binders, Lisa? And you were like, don't worry about it. You'll get to them. Which is your answer for everything. I'm like, I don't know.
Well, because we want instant gratification. Like, we want this to be done. We want this project to be checked off the list. And it will be in 18 months.
Right. Well, that's exactly right. And you kind of, you know, so the binders, like I didn't really have a place for them. I didn't know what to do with them, but I kept them. And I knew I figured I'd get to him at some point. So I eventually did get to him, and I'm not completely through with him. Like, I have not filled in the fillables, the fillable paper version, but all of the papers are in those binders. And I had to create a couple of extra binders. I have like an insurance binder because, you know, there's
so many
situations with, you know, special needs and all that stuff. So I have some different binders, and I've created ones to match what our life is, but those papers are all there, and I know where they are, and Steve knows where they are. And, you know, I had a, you know, files for our wills. And, you know, if Vivian got sick, I could put my hands on that paper and I could call my husband and tell him where they are today. And that is not true 2 years ago. Like, I would be like, I don't know, it's in a pile somewhere, maybe in this area of our house, maybe. So that's been a big difference.
You know, I was being interviewed yesterday for the paper solution, and they said, well, but if you could just do it digitally, or I do it digitally, why do we have to have the binders? And I said, the binders help you when you have to take them to the expert, the doctor, the lawyer, the school, and the binders help in the communication in the house. So like you said, either of you could get your hands on those papers at any time. And it's true too with digitally, you could digitally share that file, or you could digitally log. It's just different. Like, a binder is so physical and tactile, and it gives you so much more confidence to have it organized physically, I think.
For me, and I don't know if that's my age or my life or where I am, but I believe that is the case, that having that kind of understanding of where all those papers are, especially the important ones. I mean, mm-hmm. you have papers in your life that aren't important, but I never had my important papers well organized, nor did my mother, actually. My mother sadly passed away in June, and I've been going through all of her papers, and she kept literally, Lisa, every paper she had over the past 50 years. And she, because I think paper and cards, and it wasn't just the paper, but anything that was personal that was sent to her over her life, she kept, because that was tangible evidence of someone she cared about. And so I've been going through all of that with my dad, and it's been amazing. And I absolutely, the gift that she gave me in getting to go through the paper combined with the organizational skills that you've taught me has been just like the most joy. It's brought me so much joy to have her papers to go through, and all of these cards and all of these letters, and think of how I'm going to bless the people who gave those to her over the years. Surprise, surprise, here's every letter you've written to my mother for the last 55 years. Yeah, I'm going to put them in a bow with one of her scarves and put them in one of her hat boxes and give them to them for Christmas.
That's but I creative. Literally, I
like
love
other it. Other people might look at that and say, well, that was just a bunch of trash, and that was just yep. a bunch of junk. It was a bunch of paper. But that was very meaningful to her. And I found a lot of things, you know, just wonderful memories that she kept. So I'm a big pro paper person.
If you had been settling your mom's estate 3 years ago.
Oh my God. I wouldn't have known what to do, Lisa. I would have been crying. I would not have known what to do.
And so the papers are disorganized in your mom's estate, but because your papers are organized and your organizational muscle is strengthened, you can get joy out of the memory with your dad and blessing the people who gave them to her. But if it was 3 years ago,
I wouldn't have known how to do it. Like mm-hmm. I'm like doing like I go through, I'm doing like a huge purge where I'm going through, just going through it all, sorting it. This I'm yeah. keeping, this is not, this is worth keeping, this is not. Ooh, that's really important. And then I'm taking that pile, and I bought the little plastic sorting bins, which I think are great. I was like, why am I ever going to use these? And now that I have them, I'm like, oh my goodness, they're so helpful. But I'll divide it into, well, this is family papers. These are historic papers. These are her friends, and I've just, you know, and this is important for their house. You know, I have like, this should go in the family reference binder, and this should go into the financial binder, and this needs to go into a medical binder. My mother had been sick for over 10 years, so I do have to show her a lot of grace in not getting through the organization process of those papers. But, and I had been wanting to help her in the last probably 18 months since I started with your program. Like, Mom, why don't we go upstairs and I'll get a box of papers and we can go through it. And you know what she would say to me, Lisa? She'd say, oh, that sounds like too much work. Why don't you just, why don't you just sit down and talk to me? Just sit down and talk to me, Missy. And so,
and I'm glad, I bet you value those conversations with her much more than had gone through those papers.
So happy that that's what I did with her. I mean, that was exactly what she wanted to do. And I am just thrilled that that's what we did, because, you know, that was wonderful time to spend with her. And now I do have this gift of getting to organize all of her things. And I put together a memorabilia binder for her and one for my dad. And the things I wish I'd been able to do for her before she passed away, I've been doing and really getting, as I said, a lot of joy out of putting it together. And I know how. That's, you know, that's one of the gifts, I think. It's not overwhelming to me. It really is just an act of joy to be able to do it.
Wow. I think that is huge for you to say. I don't think you would have said that 18 months ago.
No. And honestly, some of your podcasts really have helped with that too. Just like thinking about the things and the items and what's really important. And what's really important are the memories and who she was. And she was amazing. I mean, I had the best mother of anybody, but it's been really great. So, I mean, I've done so much better than I would have without having kind of that mental adjustment that you've helped me have and having the muscle to be able to do it. So thank goodness.
Well, and I think one of the things that the Paper Solution book and these binders really help us with in organizing paper is that you mentioned in your closet, you've organized by color, you've organized by season. I'm sure you have your business versus your casual. Like, we understand clothing categories and we very easily can discuss those amongst our friends, even like, you know, just your girlfriends, your mom, your cousin, your sister. Like, you could talk to them about organizing your closet. But when we get to paper, and why I say binders are last, is because we don't understand categorizing paper. We think that there is paper and then there are files, and then there's a limited amount of files. So there are thousands of different ways that you can organize your paper. And what the binders teach you, whether you use my binders or create your own, is that there are very few categories of paper. There's active paper and there's reference paper. And when you get to reference paper, there's the four basic binders I sell, plus maybe a couple more binders. And so you can just go with your mom's paperwork, pull out unorganized boxes, and you can say, oh, that's a household related paper, that's a financial paper, that's a memory paper. And once you know that there are just these very few categories, sorting your paper becomes so much easier than trying to go through a filing cabinet.
Completely. And I've gone through several filing cabinets. What I laugh about, and this is, my husband was this way and my mother very much the same way. Lots of folders called gardening, like not one gardening folder, lots of folders called gardening, lots of folders called recipes, right? Lots of folders called home decor. I've probably eight of them. Now, one thing about my mom is she was very true to those home decor, like her house looked like a magazine and it looked like all the magazines that she had kept clippings on through the years, but she kept hundreds of pages of clippings, you know, and those are things that it's like, well, those are easy for me to get rid of. Those were her things, that phase is over, but like her memorabilia, that's different. So I think it really does kind of the structure of the Paper Solution, the structure of your program is really helpful. And for me, I told you, I think I have listen to the book twice now.
Guys, it's only been out a week.
but Lisa, here's the thing. I've listened to the book twice, and that is after
you did everything else. Yeah.
Doing everything else and understanding things. And like, I have a note here that I was going to mention, like, for me, the difference between the operations and the reference, those were not as clear to me as they are now that I've listened to the podcast. Mm-hmm. Or I'm not listening to the Audible book. And I really have to think about the operations is really the home. The operations, that's home operations. The household reference, in my head, that has to be about the house. The house stays with the house. The home is what we create wherever we are. So
that's
how but I didn't really, I never really could get that right in my mind. And that there are a couple sentences in the book, like, they went by really fast. I'm like, oh, Lisa, what she said there was like four sentences, but I have to think about that for 3 days. So that's why I'm like, I got to go back through and listen. What were those important sentences that you could write a whole book on? So anyway,
Well, my publisher would like to know what those sentences are.
I'll when I hear him the third time.
He listened the third time.
I'll read it next time. And that's another thing I think that's great about your system. And what's been really helpful for me is that you have these different modes of learning. I really like the the auditory learning, like when I'm working and when I'm doing things, but having the sheets and the worksheets to be able to get my thoughts down on paper, the planning sessions for me, oh my goodness, that is, I was like, oh, do I really want to pay money to do this? I gotta have all these free things. Why do I need to do that too? But for me, taking that time, and I did started my first round, I kind of did the things on in the videos that you suggested, and they were helpful, and I did kind of a good job. But having kind of really the time and the mental bandwidth the second and third and now fourth time to do the session with the group and really think about it and get kind of your input on it was more helpful to me. I mean, I think you kind of can do this in steps. And the first time I did it, I didn't think I knew what I was doing. And now I just like doing it with the group and like doing it, hearing what you have to say and seeing the chat. And it's given me a lot of ideas and feedback and thought that I wouldn't have had otherwise.
So you're talking about planning day.
Planning day, yes.
Yeah. So planning day is $99 and it's an add-on. You can add it on when it's the week before we start each session. The first time you go all access, it's included in there. And it used to be 2.5 hours. It's going to be 4 hours now.
Yay.
Get ready, Melissa, 4 hours. And
weekends,
all new
right?
sheets. It's all new sheets you're going to get in your email. Yeah, because we're getting ready to change the beginning of the planner. And then there is also planning videos. I think it's like at least an hour, maybe 90 minutes worth of planning videos to go through your planner included in the 100-day program. You don't have to add on this planning, but I agree with you. I use a Google Calendar and I have it very filled out as my date book, but the planner is about planning your home purposefully for the next 120 days. And
right.
What are you going to do in the next 120 days for your family, for your house, for yourself, for your work? What are the big events that are going to happen in the next 4 months only? What realistically can you get done? What are we not going to worry about in the next 4 months so that we can get big things done? And this is how you run companies. This is how you achieve your goals, but we're bringing it down to the house level.
And Lisa, it's funny, when I filled out one of the spreadsheets, I don't know if it was probably the first planning session I did with you where it came on. I filled out the section about, there's like a great chart in there that you look at the next 5 years, I guess, and what's going to be coming up. So you can really think ahead. Now, I was never one to, I had a hard time thinking more than the next 30 days because life goes by so fast. But I mapped it out and I realized that this year, my mother turned 75, my husband turned 55, my oldest daughter was going to turn 21, my middle daughter turned 16, and my youngest daughter turned 13.
Wow.
So we had a lot of milestones this year, and we had a really nice celebration for my mom before she passed away in May, even in spite of kind of everything that was going on, but I had that in my head that I needed to plan for it. We planned on having a really fun, like, go do something big as a family, do a Disney cruise, do something great. And that was what I was thinking of. Now, of course, this is the season of disappointment for everyone. And so we haven't been able to do that. But we are, you know, still thinking through, like, how can we still bring joy to my daughter turning 21. She wanted to be at Epcot doing the Around the World
experience.
I bet. We're not going to be doing that. So we're going to probably be doing it around the world in Cincinnati, like a progressive party where we'll go and have, you know, see different people in the city and celebrate different wonderful places we might be that we're not. So it's good.
But I think, you know, we are so overwhelmed and we have so many ideas about what our home is and will be. But the day-to-day just keeps us running on the hamster wheel. And if you do not purposefully stop and think about the next 120 days, the next year, the next 5 years, the next 10 years, you're going to blink and your kids are going to be
it's grown and gone. That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that was one of the things last fall. I really thought about, like, what did I want that fall to be? And I thought, you know what, my daughter's a freshman in high school. What sort of really fun traditions could we make? And I'm really glad with the tradition we came up with. There's a big rival football game that's in our kind of neighborhood, and it's always a big thing. And I thought, you know what I could do? I could do an outdoor party with all the kids, have them come over, do like Mexican, like a pickup food. They could come in our backyard before the game. We'll do a quote-unquote tailgate party with no booze. Parents could drop them off. We'll get them all over to the game. It'll be a quick thing that they'll all remember. it was great. And I never would have, with all the travel, my fall travel season, if I hadn't taken that time to really be intentional about what I could do, what was realistic and what would be fun for the girls. I think we had 45 kids in the backyard and it was a big time. And we can do that again, even in this season, if provided anyone's playing football, because it's outdoors. And so I'm like, that still works in this environment. And it's just a nice memory that those kids will have as long as they're, we had very strict rules about how they had to behave, but, and they did. So I think it'll be awesome. So
Melissa, I have followed you. I am amazed at how many things you do. In the next podcast, we're going to get into your job and then people are going to be like, oh wait, I got to go back and listen to this one now that I know all the work things that she does. So you are very organized. I've told you that from the beginning, which I think, I know you're rolling your eyes at me now because this is audio you don't see here, but she just rolled her eyes at me. You could not have achieved what you've achieved in your business and your home and your marriage and with your children if you were not organized. And I think other people need to hear what I just said. Whether you have done the Sunday Basket, the 100 Days, you are listening to a podcast about organization. You are organized. You are organized. And so when I say that you are organized and you have filled the time allotted to you, do you feel like your time is different now that you have the Sunday Basket, the 100 Days, and you've been through All Access? How does your time look different now than it did 18 months ago? We know you're not traveling because of COVID, but even before that, I think you were noticing a lot different in your time.
I was. So a couple of things. First of all, I think the not wasting time looking for things, not wasting time. Where is that paper? Do you know where did you have that stored? Did you remember to give me the paper? Did I remember to fill it out? When is it due? That takes up a lot of bandwidth. I mean, we would get it mostly done, but it does take up a lot of like time, and that there's, you know, that's time that I don't spend anymore. Like the paper, a great example is it was yearbook pickup time for my middle daughter. Did you order a yearbook, mommy? That's like always like, oh God, did I do it? Did I? Well, this year I'm like, wait a minute. I know I ordered it and I'm sure I printed it out and I have like a mini Sunday basket for all the girls where I put all their kind of files that I'm going to either need to reference later or get rid of. I had started that before I found the program. Well, that sure enough, that paper that I printed out with the receipt for the yearbook was right where I thought it was going to be. I handed it to Lily. I said, I did order it. The school had never emailed her to come pick it up, but I had done, my part and I had proof. So, you know, I think kind of not having that constant worry about what have I done? Where is it? Who's got it? What time is it? What day is the thing? That has helped me, having that calendar folder in my Sunday basket that I review every Sunday. I put in like the school schedules. I put in anything that's going up. I put that in there. I have folders in my both personal calendar and professional calendar. If something comes in that's for my Sunday basket, on each of those, I have a folder called Sunday Basket. And when it comes in, I just drop it right in that digital folder. And I try and print those out every week and then deal with them on Sunday. So that's kind of a hack for me that's helped me out. But the other thing I think is just kind of that mental space. When I come home, I'm not worrying about, did I pay this bill? That's the other thing, like the bill keeping. I never thought I'd be a person who kept a spreadsheet. And we had a call with a financial guy and he was like, well, how much are you spending every month as you're planning for your retirement? I'm like, give me 1 minute. And I opened up my file on my computer and I could tell, I created based on kind of your spreadsheet at the beginning of each month in the planner. I did the whole year. I have every bill listed, when it's due. I have one to 15, every bill. And every month I just go in and I highlight it, that the money that I had thought was going to be spent matches. So I could call that up and I knew instantly, this is what we spend every month. And I could tell him, well, that would never have happened before. I just didn't have a good system that I could manage. Well, you gave me the tools to be able to create a system for my life that I can manage much, much better. So we don't miss bills anymore. I'm not like getting three versions of the medical bill from Children's Hospital. Which one did I pay? Which one did I not pay?
Yep.
You know, is the EOB right? All that stuff, explanation of benefits. I have a system now. I do it all on Sunday. I don't have to think about it other than those times. And it's all getting done. I know when it's going to get done and I know that I'm going to do it. So was I organized before? Yes, kind of. Yes, I was probably to the outside, but inside I felt like I didn't have a lot of...
good point.
Just, it was more an internal, always having that stress and concern about the plate spinner who's got the plate going over here. Well, I got the work stuff going great, and this is not, so that, I think that's it. And also kind of that intentionality in terms of my, productivity, being really intentional about what I'm doing. It's given me more time to do that. So
I love what you said about the digitization of your finances, because I feel the most resistance when I talk about how I do my bill spreadsheets. And 18 months ago, I was still reconciling a checkbook. I don't do that anymore, people. I do have everything automated and digitized now in my bill pay. But I love how you said it and why you needed to know when those bills were paid, because I do feel like just digitizing it and having your bills automatically paid, while that's convenient and the bills aren't paid late, not many people have just unlimited amounts of money in our checking account, so it doesn't matter which bills come out when. Like, I'm always like, okay, well, this 1 week of the month, we got to make sure that we eat from home, because that's when the mortgage comes out and the insurance check comes out. And like, so I'm always monitoring which bills are coming out next to make sure that there's enough money in there. And then when there's extra money in there, pulling it out for whatever big thing that's going to happen in the next 120 days that we have to pay for. And so, well, I think people aspire to have their money flow automatically and be digitally paid. The organization part is knowing where your money is going, wanting it to go there. How much is going there? Do we need to earn more? Do we need to spend less? How much do we need for retirement? That's all organization.
It is. I agree. And so I also have, there's also a column for income. So I know that Steve and I both get paid the same day twice a month, right? And so I know what that looks like at the beginning of the month, and I know what it looks like at the end of the month. I know that we're front loaded in the month in terms of having more bills from the 1st to the 15th and from the 15th to the 30th. I know you followed Dave Ramsey on and off, and I've really tried to be, again, kind of more intentionally productive and intentionally looking at that. That was, I think, my third round, this round, to get that under control and have better both understanding and not being afraid to look at it. You know, I think a lot of times you think, oh, if I don't pay attention to it, it's not a problem, right?
No, it doesn't happen, by the way.
Like, well, no, it doesn't. It is a problem, right? Open those bills up, read them, make sure you understand what medical bills are due when, and you're having problems, pick up the phone. I mean, when Violet was three, she had meningitis, and we had like a $15,000 bill from Children's Hospital, and I picked up the phone. I said, look, you've got to help. What can we do here? And if you're proactive and talking with people and you address what the issue is and you tell them what your problem is, they said, well, can you do this every month? I'm like, absolutely. We can do that every month. Okay. And and we'll take this part off, especially with medical bills. Like, the more proactive you can be and the more talking to them and getting in the financial department, the worst thing I think you can do is put your head in the sand about that stuff. You have to just really be very, very transparent with them about what's going on. And they, on the medical side, I've found that they'll work with you to make sure.
Yeah, they'll reach out to your insurance company. They'll resubmit things with different codes. They will give you a payment plan, and then they will take a portion and they will just charge it off. And then they will also tell you what other programs are out there. So I think it was 2 years ago, Abby was at Children's Hospital in Cincinnati. Is amazing. And she has high triglycerides.
Yes. Here's a plug.
Hashtag not an ad.
For
but we are frequent users.
Very frequent users.
Very frequent. So she was there for high triglycerides and all these other things. And they wanted to check her heart for something, and they happened to have the ultrasound machine available, like the patient had canceled. So they moved her over, and she had an ultrasound of her heart. You do not even want to know how much this is going to cost. So they did all of these things.
You have?
Oh my gosh. So then I was like, well, I don't know. I guess this is going to come through insurance and we're going to figure it out. And we got a letter 6 weeks later from Children's Hospital saying that they had this special thing for children with cardiac situations. And if I just filled out this paper, that all of the medical goes through this foundation or whatever. I was like, how fast can I fill out this piece of paper?
Is it BCMH?
I think so. Yeah. And I was like, And I don't even know how much that ended up being. And I was like, wow, that is amazing. So there are, so that was just specific to heart conditions in children in Cincinnati. So there are all kinds of grants, all kinds of funds. And instead of putting your head in the sand and worrying about how you're going to make the medical bills work, reach out to other people you know that have similar conditions or, you know, are in the medical community and they know of these different funds that will help you.
Completely. Yep. Mm-hmm. And even just talking to the financial person, like be persistent and talk to someone who really knows something in the hospital's finance department. Sometimes if they know you're on an HSA where you have a high deductible insurance policy, they can change your rates. I don't know. I'm sorry about the rabbit hole, but
all kinds of stuff they can do.
There's all kinds of stuff. And you really just want to keep that communication open. But again, to my point though, like we know I have very specific things on the calendar or on my spreadsheet for the financial stuff. So I would know, you know, what's where. I've gotten much better control over that, which is nice because it's one less thing. I have a system for it. It's working for me. That's one thing my husband doesn't know kind of where that is and what that is, but it's digital. So why would he, right? Right, Lisa? Why would he? It's digital. If it were in a binder,
he'd find out about the binders if he ever needs the binders. Let's just hope he never needs them. The women in my family, we live into our late 90s. I'm good to go.
My mom was 75, but her sisters are all in their 80s. So hopefully we're good there.
I think one more thing I want to say about medical, which financial, which I haven't said before, is I did two things to help our bills work out through the month better. You can't usually change your mortgage. Your mortgage has to be paid before the 15th of the month, but almost every other bill that you have, you can change the due date. So there was a period in time where we were all front loaded as well. Like everything was due the first 2 weeks of the month and nothing was due the last 2 weeks of the month. And so I moved my cable bill. There were a whole bunch of bills that when I called them, I changed the date that it was due. And that alleviated our financial pressure. And then when I started taking a paycheck from Organize 365, I looked at when Greg gets his and we get paid every other week and I get paid on the off week. So now we have income coming in every single Friday.
That's smart. Yeah, that's smart. Yeah. We can't do that. But
but those of you that are entrepreneurs, or if you're an LLC, or when do you take your draw as your company money, like try to mitigate that. We have all of our charitable donations now at the end of the month instead of the beginning of the month, et cetera. So there are some bills you can move.
The vast majority of my charitable donations I do like on December 30th. For me, it's I just like having that kind of tradition where I say, okay, where do I really feel like, you know, you've worked hard. It's kind of a end of the year for me. It's psychologically, it makes me feel like, okay, you had a good year. You did good things. Now you can, because of the work you've done, you can, you know, help other people out or support causes that you really believe in. So I love that. So, yeah.
Well, I think this is a good place to end our first podcast episode. Anything else you wanted to say about your personal like Sunday basket 100 day home organization journey before we jump into all of the passion projects and uniqueness of Melissa?
I think it really is a system, Lisa, that for me things and achieve some things organizationally that I never thought I would. I never thought I'd get to. I know, like with my mom, the pictures were always something she'd do someday. Like that was her, oh, once I have time, I'm going to do it. Well, there really is never time to do that. And like with her pictures, that's one of the things to honor her. I found a professional photo organizer and I said, get these scanned. Let's get them organized. Let's have a heritage for my father and for my family. That would be something good to do. But getting some of it achieved and some of it done really gives you some feeling of accomplishment, and it allows you to have other things that you can pursue and consider. And it's good. It's been very good. Thank you. Thank you, Lisa. Great book. Oh my goodness. So good.
All right. Well, we will be back with you next week with part two.
Are you loving these new podcasts? Oh my gosh. I could talk to you guys forever. And I love talking to you actually in person. If you have a story and you would love to share it on the podcast, just go to organize365.com/Wednesday to apply.